Bibles to the book of Revelation chapter 15. If you have need of a Bible, as always, raise your hand good and high. One of these fine gentlemen will hand one to you. Revelation chapter 15. Let's try to get shark images out of our minds and focus on the Lord. I can't get it out of my mind. Oh, 3 feet. Okay, yeah, 3 feet, Jaws. Mike said, I said it was a small one. She goes, well, where the baby is, mommy's not far behind. It's true. She's an expert at sharks. I can tell you this right now. Oh, my gosh. Let's hurry up and pray before it gets worse. Father God, we thank you for the gathering together of your church, of your people. I thank you for each and every person who is here this morning. To just receive and be filled with your word, with your Holy Spirit. I thank you, God, that we are able to worship you through song. And I pray right now that our hearts are ready, our ears are open to what the Spirit wants to speak to us. Lord, I would just confess in my life, and I'm sure in many others, we just need more of you. More of you in our lives, more of you in our thoughts, in our hearts, in our everyday. And so we pray that you would use this time to draw us close to you, Lord. We're here for that purpose. I pray against any distractions, anything around us that may keep us from the message that you're speaking to us. And I pray that you would speak to us clearly, Lord, that we wouldn't forget these things, that if we would write some things down, take some notes to remind ourselves later of the things that you spoke to us. We know that you're going to speak. Your word does not return to you void. So let us be those sponges that just soak up your truth and then, more importantly, live that truth out loud. We love you, God. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, I truly hope that you come to church on Sunday mornings to spend time with God, to be in the presence of the Lord. You kind of saw the theme of our songs, and we picked those specifically because the presence of God in our lives is so very important. And church, listen, before anybody stepped in this building, before 6 a.m., it was just a building. It became a church when the first believer walked on the property. It became a church when the body of Christ comes together. And my hope and my desire is that you come to church to be with God's people, to hear from God's word, to worship him in song, and then in some way hear his will for your life. That must be your heart this morning. That must be your desire here today, is that I come to church to spend time with the Lord. Now listen, I understand probably some of you are thinking, well, I don't need to be in church to spend time with God, to be in his presence. And that is absolutely true. At any time and in any place, you can have divine intervention with the Lord God. He is available to you 24/7. If you're awake, he's ready. And so it's not just here, but listen, here is the time where we can pray for each other. Here is the time when we can be encouraged by other believers that love God, that maybe if we had a bad week, we can get around someone who had a good week. I mean, that's really what church is about, strengthening each other and being in that place together. I hope those are the main reasons you're here. I hope it's not coffee. I hope it's not snacks. I hope it's not anything but the love of God. The truth of the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't you believe that you need more God in your life? I mean, the strongest believer on the planet still needs more God because there's so much of us that is flesh. There's so much of us that is of ourselves that we need to realize, I need to spend time with God. And that's what I want to talk about this morning because there are so many other responsibilities that we have in life. Right? So many other commitments that we're committed to, that we're responsible for. And so those are the things that take us away from thinking about God or being with the Lord. And so what I want to talk about this morning is seeking God's presence, seeking his presence. There's no doubt that if we just sit quietly, that the presence of God will come to us. But it's really a a reminder this morning that we are to seek after his presence. We are to go and find it and go and grab it and embrace the presence of God. For the last 30 minutes, we have worshiped the Lord. And listen, you are in the presence of the Lord. Because God loves it when his people come together in his name and for his purposes. And so without a shadow of a doubt, no matter what happened this week, God was here, guys. He dwells in our hearts for those who believe. And he was here this morning with us. And we need to know that he's still here with us and he wants to speak to us. See, the last time we were in the book of Revelation chapter 15, John told us that he saw this sign in heaven. And if you remember, it was 3 weeks ago, he called it a great and marvelous vision of heaven. Great and marvelous. And we saw how he saw a sea of glass with fire mingled in it, and he saw those who had victory over the beast, over the Antichrist, standing on the sea. And what were they doing? They were singing a song. They were praising God. They were singing the song of Moses, which the song of Moses was when they went through the Red Sea and got on the other side and were safe from God. And they just praised the Lord. And it's that heart to praise God. And when we see these things that God does in our lives, it should motivate us to praise him. It should motivate us to thank him for his protection. I would hope most, if not all, and people in here are praying for something that God wants to do in our lives, that you want God to do in your life. And when he does it, boy, I pray you don't just get to the next thing on your list. I truly believe there is that time of thanksgiving, saying, God, you're so good. You know, you might have seen out in the corridor, we had some plans made up of our property and developing our property. And it's exciting to see it. Boy, it sure would be nice if it was a lot that easy, that you could just have a drawing made and boom, the building would show up over there. But that's an opportunity for us to say, God, we'd love to see you do this. We would love this opportunity. Show us how to do it, Lord. Let us believe that you can do it. And when he does do it, man, we better make sure we're going to thank him. And so it's the same thing in your life, from the very smallest of things that God does for you. Give him thanks for that. Seeking his presence. Who in here needs more of the presence of God? I sure do. There's too much of me in here. And I need more of Jesus. I need more of the Holy Spirit. I need more of the presence of God. And so that's what I want to talk to you this morning. Chapter 15, we're going to pick up in verse 5, and we're only going to look at the last four verses. So read with me, if you will. Revelation 15, let me find my water. He dropped the cap. And read verse 5. After these things, I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And out of the temple came the seven angels, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure bright linen, and having their chests girded with golden bands. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls, full of the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. Now, I just want to remind you, chapter 15 is a prelude to the seven plagues that are going to be poured out, the seven bowl judgments that are going to be poured out on the earth. Chapter 16 is going to talk about what they are. So this is kind of a precursor to that. He's setting up the stage of what's going to happen. And so in this entire chapter, we see, again, those who had victory over the beast, they're in the presence of God, and now the angels have these seven plagues coming out of the temple, and God's getting ready to send these plagues out, these bowls out. Now, the first two verses, verses 5 and 6, we see two things. We see the temple, and we see these angels. It's very important for us to realize that when the Bible here in Revelation talks about the temple, it's talking about the holiest place on planet Earth, but also the holiest place in heaven. The temple is that, what we call, the Holy of Holies, that inner sanctuary where the very presence of God rested. And I just feel it's very significant that as John looks and sees this vision of heaven, he sees the temple. This is the heavenly temple. Did you notice that? The temple of the testimony in heaven. The testimony of the tabernacle, of the testimony that's in heaven. So the temple is the Holy of Holies. The testimony is the witness or the very presence of God. In the earthly temple, it was in the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant was, which had what? The Ten Commandments in there. That was God's word. It represented his presence. And so John is witnessing these things, and he sees this. And I always try to tell you, put yourself in John's position. In around 95 AD, okay, the temple was destroyed. The temple was gone. There hasn't been a temple since. And here John is looking at this temple in heaven. Now, there was no temple there at the time, and Jesus Christ actually took that place, did he not? He stepped in and he made that sacrifice. And so here John is seeing the temple in heaven. And if you remember, God spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai and described to him the tabernacle based on the pattern of the tabernacle that was in heaven. So the real tabernacle, the real temple is in heaven, not here. In earth, it's a copy. Everything here on earth is a copy, guys. He's seeing a temple that's in heaven. For John, that must have been a beautiful sight. As he's witnessing that, is he able to see and see access into the Holy of Holies? Because listen, before Jesus came, there was no access to the Holy of Holies. One person, the high priest, once a year was able to go inside the Holy of Holies to be in the presence of God. And here John is seeing it. And do you notice what it says at the end of verse 5? The temple was opened. There was access there. And John is seeing into the Holy of Holies. Do you understand how significant this is? That we have total access to the Holy God. That we don't have to have access to God through somebody else. We don't have to wait a year for the high priest to go in and make sacrifice and hope our sins would be acceptable, or that sacrifice would be acceptable to cover our sins. Guys, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. You are the Holy Spirit, or the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are. That's in... Let me see if I can find it. 1 Corinthians. Oh, thought I had it here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? The presence of God is with you." So the good news is we don't have to go far to seek the presence of God, do we? We don't have to come to church. We don't need to be around anybody else. No, we are the temple, and we can spend time with the Lord at any moment, at any time. My question to us, are we? Are we spending time in the presence of God? When I have a bad thought, when I have bad motivations, when I get discouraged, I realize that I'm not in the presence of God enough. I realize that I'm spending too much on my time on my own and apart from God. It's getting to that place to go, Lord, I want to get my attention and my focus upon you. That's why you're here this morning, right? You're not here to see me. You're not here to see what shirt I'm going to wear. You're not here with words I'm going to make up. You're here because you want to be in the presence of God, I hope, I pray. And I pray that God is speaking to you, that he wants to spend time with you. Mom and dads, you know how this is, right? With your kids, oh, I wish they would call. See, I have the other problem. My dad never calls me. I always have to call him. It's like, Dad, do you not love me? Hope he hears this message. Talk to somebody that's lost a loved one. And they'll remind you to make sure you tell your loved ones you love them. To spend time with them. God wants to spend time with us. God wants, he's ready. He's always available to spend that time with you. And we just need to spend that time. You know, Leah reminded you guys of a weekly challenge that I send out every week. It's just another reminder to keep God on your mind. It's not just another thing to do. We all got enough to do. But don't we need more of what God wants us to do in our lives? And so it's that reminder to be in the presence of God. And John sees. Notice it says, I looked. And after these things, I looked. This was an act that John made. That word looked means to pay attention. It meant to understand. Sometimes we go through life with blinders on that we're not looking for the Lord. Where is God in your life? Where is he? Are you seeking after him? Are you looking for him? Are you finding opportunities to be in the presence of the Lord? He's always there and always available to us, my friends. And when John looks, he sees the temple. He sees into the Holy of Holies. He sees the presence of God. I ask you, what are your eyes seeing? What are you looking at? What are you looking for? There's a lot of things in this world we shouldn't be looking at, my friends. There's a lot of things we shouldn't be reading. There's a lot of TV programs, a lot of movies, a lot of things we shouldn't be looking at. Are you going to go to hell for doing it? No, but it's not good for you. People tell me eating organic is healthy. Other people say, what's the difference? It's cheaper not to eat organic. If you know something is better for you, but yet don't do it, if you know that God is available to you, and if you would just spend some time with it, it would be to your benefit, and you don't do it, what's the point? See, we need to do and seek after the Lord. Are you seeking his presence? This is a reminder for you today, starting this afternoon, to seek the presence of God. You have a friend in your life that just loves the Lord, is always encouraging, pick up the phone, talk to him. Seek after the Lord. See what God wants to do with you this week and what God wants to produce in your life. Verse 5. After these things, I looked. He purposely looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle, the testimony of heaven, was opened. I believe if we purpose in our hearts to look for God, he promises to reveal himself. So maybe this week we just start looking. Verse 6. And out of the temple came seven angels, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure, bright linen, and having their chests girded with golden bands. I want us to look at this verse as to see the results of what happens when you spend time in the presence of God. Notice where the angels are coming from. They're coming out of the temple, which we just talked about, is the presence of God. These angels were in the presence of God, and as they leave, they have one job to do. When we spend time with God, guess what happens? He tells us what he wants us to do. And I think God's really smart because he only gives us one thing to do at a time. See, these seven angels had just one thing to do. Each angel had one bowl, it had one plague, and we'll see those in chapter 16, one thing to do. And I would say for us, when we're in the presence of God, let's hear that one thing that God wants us to do that day. What do you want me to do, God? You want me to be more loving? You want me to be more gracious? You want me to be more forgiving? You want me to be what? Isn't that what we should be asking God, what he wants us to do? Instead of saying, God, I want you to do this for me. I want you to do this. Listen, I get convicted all the time of that property, praying for God to do something. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to leave it to you, Lord. It's in your way. It's in your time, however you want. And it reminds me in my life that I just got to sit here and listen, and God, you tell me what to do, and I want to be obedient in doing it. I want to be obedient in doing it. You must go where God is rather than asking God to come where you are. Do you hear that? You must go where God is rather than you asking God to come where you are. Are your prayers like this? God, be with me at work today. God, make my workload light. God, help me with my neighbors. God, help me be like... Are we always asking God to come to us? Or are we saying, God, help me to be a better employee. Help me to be the best spouse that I can be. Asking the Lord to help us in those areas. And then listen to what he has to say. It's easy for us to get jaded in this world. There's a lot of bad things out there. And when I hear somebody getting angry at someone else or judging or criticizing someone, I'm always careful to say, hey, I understand what you're seeing. But what does that person need? They need the presence of God. They need the Lord more in their life. They're making bad choices. They're making bad decisions. We hear it all the time in the church. People calling us and calling us and calling us to meet their needs because what? They're living their lives irresponsibly. And it's not our job to just provide for them. We want them to walk with God. If they're discouraged, we always ask, are you in a church? No. Don't like churches. But you'll call one to pay your bill. That's interesting. And we invite them, come to church, so that we can encourage you and we can pray over you. Pastor RG, I'll tell you, most people he talks to, They don't really don't want them to pray for them. Oh, you want me to pray? Okay. It's like, that's what they need. That's what they need. These angels come out of the temple. They were told to do one thing. They receive instructions. I believe when we're in the presence of God, we receive instructions from the Lord. We receive the instructions for our lives. Number two, from the presence, you are made holy. Notice they're in bright linens. That means purity. That means holiness. When you're in the presence of God, listen, sin kind of falls by the wayside. Sin kind of goes away. When you're in the presence of a holy, righteous God, you feel dirty and you ask God, cleanse me. And he will. And then finally, the third thing, from his presence, your heart is made pure. Do you see the gold band that's across their chest? Listen, these seven angels are going out to pour out the wrath on unbelieving earth. But the Bible tells us these gold bands represents that their hearts were right before God. How many of us know we can cast judgment in the wrong way? We can, you know, with the wrong intent, with the wrong heart. These angels had pure hearts. They were pouring out God's judgment, but it was a righteous judgment because they had given God had given them plenty of time to change. We need our hearts changed, don't we? We need our hearts cleansed and purified. If there's someone in your life that you have bitterness towards, I say take that to the Lord. See what God wouldn't do with that. See if he wouldn't change your heart in that situation. Why is it we want judgment for others but grace for ourselves? Or maybe that's me. You guys aren't like that. Are you seeking his presence? The next thing, in verse 7, it says, then one of the four living creatures gave the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God. And when I read this the first time, it reminded me of chapter 5. I don't know if anybody remembers. There were golden bowls back in chapter 5. What were they filled with? Incense, or which were the prayers of the saints. Prayers of the saints. I love that God keeps things in golden bowls. And here, this is the wrath that he has in these golden bowls. And it's getting ready to be poured out. It was more like a saucer, like a curved plate. In other words, when that wrath gets poured out, it gets poured out easily. You know, and so that's what these angels had. They had this wrath to be poured out on man. And we might look at that and go, that's not the God we serve. Isn't God supposed to be loving? Listen, I don't know about you, but I need judgment in my life. I need correction in my life. And God is good about correcting me in a loving way. But sometimes I need to get hit up upside the head. God, I tell God, use a big bat. Get it in my head. I want your will, God, not my will. And so that's what these angels are doing. And I don't know about you. There it is. I knew I was going to say it once. Verse 8, even with all this wrath, even with these golden bowls that are going to be poured out, in the temple, the Bible tells us that the temple was filled with smoke, which was what? The glory and the power of God. I just think it's so amazing in this chapter with all this getting ready to be poured out that God's glory is always there. Think about this. God is glory, right? So where the presence of God is, there's glory. He is glory, he gives glory, and we give him glory. Isn't that amazing? And here we see in this chapter the glory of God. And that's what I want to talk about for the rest of our time, is giving God the glory that he deserves. To give God the glory that he deserves because he deserves to be glorified. My prayer all the time is, Lord, be glorified in my life. Be glorified in this church. Be glorified in people's lives. We want you to receive the glory. He is glorious, but we get to give him glory. That's an amazing thing. In fact, if you look at John chapter 17, there's two verses that Jesus talks about, John 17:5 and John 17:22. He says, and now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. So even before anything was created, God's glory was there. And Jesus is saying, glorify me in that same way. Before he dies, he wants God's glory to be upon his life so he can fulfill God's purpose for him. Wouldn't that be a prayer for us? God, give us your glory so that I can fulfill the purpose that you have for me. I can't fulfill my purpose with my own strength. I can only fulfill God's purpose in my life if God gives me the glory. But then notice what he says. And the glory which you gave me, which was there, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. Now, some of you might think, well, that was the early disciples. No. The glory that God has given to Jesus, he's given to you. The power of God is upon your life. You have it. You've received it. Use it. Utilize it. See, we can't give glory to God in our flesh. We need to give God the glory because of the glory he's given to us. It's the only way, is with his provision of us in our lives. The glory of God has been given to you personally. You might not feel it. You might not even feel like it. But it's yours. It's yours. And I think that's a great reminder for us this morning, that God's glory dwells in us. Hey, we got the Holy Spirit. We're created in his image. We've been given the Holy Spirit because we believe. We've been given every spiritual blessing from the heavenlies to accomplish his purposes. And then on top of that, his glory is in us. There's times we don't feel like we're displaying God's glory, though, isn't there? There's times when we know that was not from God, that was from me. But don't you also know those times when you go, I just felt God's glory pass through me. I was just able to be nice to someone. I was just able to help someone. I was able to encourage someone. There is nothing greater in my life than to be around someone that looks like they're having a really bad day and to be able to spend some moments with them and encourage them in what's going on in their lives and to see their countenance change. That's God's glory, guys. That's God's glory. It's not me. So we have that opportunity. If we're seeking his presence, we're going to have his glory. We'll be able to share that with others. Are you showing the glory of God? Are you showing the glory of God? See, I can't see the Holy Spirit that's in any of you. I can't see the Holy Spirit that's in me. But I can see it when the Holy Spirit's living through you. That's when I can begin to see what God is doing. So when the Holy Spirit is moving through you and using you and helping you to encourage someone else or live a holy life, then I can say, that's God's glory. You can see it on someone's face, can't you? See, I get a good perspective. I get to see all your faces. And I can see some glory, some tired. Guys, there is something about displaying the glory of God. I think Jesus had it perfectly, of course. And any time someone ran into Jesus, their life was affected. And I think sometimes just by looking at him, I think there was something about him that was just so glorious, they knew they were in the presence of God. That's who we should be. We should be those people that people want to be around. I was going to have you turn there, but I'm running out of time. I want you to think about this, though. Moses. Remember when Moses went up on the Mount Sinai to get the tablets? He would go up and he would spend time in the presence of God. He would come down from the mountain and give the law out to the people and share what God had said. What was all over his face? Shekinah glory. It said his face shone like the sun. And it was a physical evidence that he was in the presence of God. So much so he had to put a veil over it because the people were freaked out about it. How amazing would that be? If you had so much of God's glory on you, it would freak people out. Let's hope it doesn't get to that. But to just go, man, you know they, you know, it was Peter and John. They were preaching such boldness. They were preaching such powerful gospel that people said, they were amazed at they were unlearned, untrained men speaking the oracles of God. And it says in the Bible in Acts, it says, and they knew that they had spent time with Jesus. You know, when we get the sourpuss, we're not spending time with Jesus. When we get that down countenance and get discouraged, because life's hard, right? Bills don't stop. I want 28 hours in a day, but they just don't ever seem to come. There's never enough time, and it's discouraging. But when we spend time with Jesus, all that stuff falls away. So Moses had it. The boys had it because they were unlearned, untrained men speaking the oracles of God, and they saw that they had spent time with Jesus. Man, I hope people say that about us. And man, that Pastor RJ, he spends time with Jesus. Can you put your name in there? I spent time with Jesus. And it doesn't matter that my life's falling apart. I have the love of God on me. Whew. What a beautiful thing that is. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles. Make sure I got this right. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. This is an amazing picture. Bear with me, I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's only 14 verses, I think. When we're seeking the presence of God, people will see it on our face. They will see it on our face. They will also, seeking God's glory in worship. Look at this picture. This is so cool. Verse 1, chapter 5. So all the work that Solomon had done for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in the things which his father David had dedicated, the silver and the gold and all the furnishings, and he put them in the treasuries of the house of God. Now Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief fathers of the children of Israel in Jerusalem, that they might bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord up from the city of David, which is in Zion. Therefore, all men of Israel assembled with the king at the feast, which was in the seventh month. So all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the ark. Then they brought up the ark, the tabernacle of meeting, and the holy furnishings that were in the tabernacle. The priests and the Levites brought them up. Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who were assembled with him before the ark were sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be counted or numbered for multitude. So there's a lot of worship towards God going on. Verse 7, then the priests brought in the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place, into the inner sanctuary of the temple, to the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies, under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim overshadowed the ark and its poles. The poles extended so that the ends of the poles of the ark could be seen from the holy place in front of the inner sanctuary, but they could not be seen from outside, and they are there to this day. Nothing was in the ark except the two tablets which Moses put there at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they had come out of Egypt. Now look at this. And it came to pass when the priests came out of the most holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without keeping to their divisions. And the Levites who were the singers, all of those of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun with their sons and their brethren, stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. You want to talk about a worship set. Verse 13, indeed it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Whew. I mean, I don't know about you. I did it again. But I get God bumps when I read something like this. So many priests, so many holy men that have sanctified themselves, purified their hearts, sought after the Lord, worshiped, gave sacrifices, praised, sang to the Lord. So much so that the presence of God falls upon the congregation. That the presence of God is so felt that they can actually see the glory of God. I want to see that happen in my life. I want to see that happen in your lives. What would it take for our worship service at Calvary Chapel Brentwood to display and to manifest the glory of God? That's a great amen spot. Here's what it will not produce. When we drag ourselves into church, when we leave our hearts downtrodden and discouraged because of whatever's going on, when we look at the state of our country, when we look at the condition of our world, the choices that are, the more and more that people are shoving God out of our lives, and we get discouraged and we come in here and go, I just hope I get something to be encouraged. Guys, we serve a living God. Jesus died for us for our sins so that we could live a life that brings glory and honor to him. I encourage you, I implore you, I beg you, seek his presence at every opportunity. When you're going through a difficult time in your life, that is the one time you really need to be seeking after the Lord. If it's financial, if you've lost a loved one, if it's relational, if it's emotional, whatever it is, if it's got, the world wants to take you down, the enemy wants to take you out, but we can still glorify God. If we just spend some moments with him. I'm so thankful that we have Christian radio. So thankful that we can, no matter what's going on, what kind of traffic we're stuck in, we can stick a radio station and we can worship God in our cars. We can worship God in our cubicles at work. Maybe you got to wear earphones. I don't know the situation. But are you seeking him? Because if you're not, you're just going to get stuck in the mud. You're going to feel bad. You're going to be discouraged. You're going to look at life and say, it's not fair. I'm here to tell you life's not fair. But the end is going to be well worth it if you stay the course. Let's make sure we do everything we can. Notice it said they were all one. They sang as one. We need to be united. If there's one person in here that's saying, this is all for nothing. It'll suck the energy out. We all need to believe that God is greater than our situations, that God is greater than our circumstances, that God is greater than our finances. A wise pastor said to me once, if money can fix your problems, you really don't have any problems. But why is it money consumes us sometimes? I don't have enough to pay my bills. If you did, then what? You can't buy health. You can't buy life. You can't buy happiness. So money will just take away some hindrances. What makes you really happy is the love of God, some good friends, a great family. I know sometimes our families are hard to take. I'm happy here today that there's some parents that are here. That you love each other. That's great. Love each other. Tell each other you love each other. I officiated the wedding down in Florida. And I encourage Jared and Mandy, tell yourselves every single day that you love each other. Every single day without fail. My wife travels a lot, so she either gets in a text or it's on a phone call. But we don't let a day go by. We don't say we love each other. We might not stand each other, but we love each other. I'm kidding. Sort of. We love each other. Don't let a day go by. I mean, you gotta mean it. That's important. You gotta mean it. But remember, love is not a feeling. Love is a choice that you make. Jesus chose to die for you because he loved you. God gave you your spouse because he loves you. Love on them. We see God's glory in worship. We see God's glory on our faces. We also see God's glory in our trials. And if you take notes, Acts chapter 7, verse 54-ish. Stephen had just preached and was being stoned for his preaching. Talk about a trial. And what does he do? He looks up to heaven and he says, I see heaven opened up and the glory of God and Jesus seated at the right hand. Even in his trial, even in his death, he was able to purposely look up to heaven and he had a vision from God and he saw his glory. Whew. When we seek his presence, we're seeking his presence for his glory, even when we're in difficult times. None of us should ever just seek the Lord when things are going good. You got to seek him when you know that even sometimes it's in a trial. And it's not easy. It's a choice. But that's the beautiful thing about other people in your life. They can encourage you to stay the course. Have you ever felt like quitting? Ever felt like giving up? Ever feel like it's too hard? Yeah, we all have. But I'm thankful for the men in my life that say, stop thinking that way. I call it stinking thinking. Because quitting doesn't make it better. Quitting doesn't make it easier. The hard thing is to stay the course. And so, let me close with this. The psalmist writes in Psalm 42, verse 5, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? We've all felt that, right? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. The psalmist is having a conversation with himself. Ever done that? Saying, why do I feel like this? Soul, why are you downtrodden? Why are you discouraged? Why are you so disappointed? Hope in God. Man, I hope that speaks to someone this morning. That no matter what it is you're going through, if it's a difficult situation, just hope in God. And be encouraged that God is there with you. And tell yourself, Jesus is on the throne, Jesus is in control, and Jesus is going to be glorified in your life. Let's seek him this week. Let's purposely look for his presence and then be ready to be used by him however he chooses. Amen? Father God, we thank you so much for your word today. And we pray, God, that you would just continue to bless us with your presence. We pray that we would not do anything, Lord. We pray for the sin in our lives that so easily ensnares us and weighs us down. We pray that we would be a church that repents, that confesses our sin to you, God, that you might cleanse us so it doesn't weigh us down and discourage us, that we would seek your face at every turn, every day, seeking after you, looking for you, paying attention to what you're doing, paying attention to what your will is. I pray for every single person here this morning that they would have a newfound desire to carve out some time. I know we don't have a lot of time in our lives, but to carve out some time to sit at your feet, that we might have that Shekinah glory upon our faces because we've spent time with you. And as we gather together as a church, I pray, God, that encouragement would happen, prayer would happen, that we would be there for each other, loving on each other. To you be the glory. To you be the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please stand.